form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the anvil, human cleric, and Ravy, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for the Great Old Ones.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. When last we left our band of adventurers, they had found their way out of the underground city of Yig. The weeks of travel through the caverns and caves had deposited them far up into the peaks of the teeth of the world. For those of you who don't remember, you could either go back, you know, to the last episode, or I'll just tell you now, they are a range of very unforgiving mountains that partially rim the northern Sea of Maya. Currently, the first snows of winter are starting to fall, and as the party has traveled from the relative warmth of the underground environment, now that they are above ground and in these peaks, the elements are starting to bite and claw at them in more ways than one. Chilling winds, limited visibility, and strange shapes in the distance seem to haunt the party as they have been traveling down the mountain to find their way to the walled city of Varonia. As the second day of their travel begins to draw to a close, they have come upon the body of a frost giant with strange bite marks in its icy flesh, and the bite marks are unlike anything they've seen before. So we are near dusk on the second day of your travel above ground, and that's where we are. You can see on this beautiful map, there is it's about a 15-foot tall frost giant laying on its chest, face kind of partially buried in the snow. And it has these really very weird bite marks all over it. And it's kind of purple pinkish blood. I don't know if you knew this, frost giants have purple pinkish blood. In Maya they do, so we're going with it. It's purple pinkish blood is stained the kind of the icy layer of snow that is covering the ground. Snow isn't quite deep yet, but as it is coming down, you guys kind of are fully aware that winter has started. It will begin to accumulate more. It's definitely going to stick. The snow that is falling now is sticking. And with night coming on quickly, you know, it's just going to get deeper as it comes. So that is where we are.
So you said it was torn, this frost giant's corpse has been torn up. You said it was definitely by tooth or teeth or claws, not by blades?
Yeah. It's clearly got some strange bite marks in it. If you want to inspect more closely,
I'd like to do an investigation and like see how fresh the corpse is.
Sure. Let's go ahead and make a perception check.
Yeah,
we'll
find that.
Wow. Yeah.
This is the problem with playing multiple characters. Is I thought I had a spell that would be really great here.
First
natural 20 in the night.
That is a first natural 20. Matt G rolling a natural 20. Mativis is all Sherlock Holmes up on this shit.
I'm putting down little cards.
He's taping off the entire area. It's like a CSI crime scene over here.
It's perfect for being a guard.
That's what he does. Okay, so as you're kind of cornering off the area, what you're noticing is this giant is wearing chain and loose hide armor. It has a large sack hanging from its belt. Also from its belt are two human skulls. They have a thick cord of leather strung through the eye sockets. There's a large spear you notice as you're kind of walking around the body that is kind of underneath the snow. At first it looked like a branch or something, but you can kind of see now that it's a crudely constructed spear or javelin. Mm-hmm. And there's another one that's under its body. You can see some hoof prints that are around this body.
And the same hoof prints from before.
Yes, very much the same hoof prints from before, in pairs of six. You can see that there is the bite marks that have been made into the flesh seem to be made with flat teeth, as opposed to like your sharper canines that would be more indicative of like a wolf or a large cat of some sort. These appear to be more weirdly more equine in nature.
Yeah. Do I get the feeling that these bites were made after the giant was already dead?
Possibly. No, with a 20, no. No, you think these bites were probably made while the giant was still alive.
Do I see any sign of like resistance from the bites?
You do not.
Yeah, I thought as much. Yeah, so I'm guessing those things we encountered the other night somehow entranced this giant and then just have at it while it was still alive. So we don't want to let those things near us even more.
I feel like that's a pretty accurate summation of the situation at hand.
How big's the sack?
It's about. Well, yeah. It's it would be about the size of a backpack for a medium sized creature.
Okay, let's have a look in there as well then.
All right. When you bust that open, you find some skinned ram flanks. There's 6 large ram horns, and there's a couple of chunks of like ore. Like, and as you're looking at them, they're flecked with sapphire.
Yeah, I'll call Ogun over. Because he would like to see some more, I'm assuming.
All right. Well, do I roll against craftsmanship, or is something I recognize? Or
yeah, it's definitely this is raw sapphire. So as you're looking at it, it's not been tooled, but it's like between the 3 pieces of ore that he's pulled out of here, they're about fist-sized chunks of ore. You could probably get like 100 plat worth of sapphire out of these 3 chunks of ore.
Well, it's very valuable, Matavis. This ore, I could probably refine it down in my furnace at home. I guess make some money out of it if you want to carry it, or I can carry it, or we can put it in the weightless box.
Put it in one of the boxes.
That's a good idea. Definitely worth saving.
This is a definitely valuable ore. Like 100 platinum is a lot of money. It's nothing to scoff at.
How long do we have until sundown?
That's what I'm worried about. Sun is going down as you guys are inspecting it.
Okay.
Sun is in the process of setting.
We should probably make our way there. Yeah, exactly my thought.
If these things can take down a giant with ease and eat it alive, I don't want to be around in nightfall.
Did they eat the giant alive, or are they purely just attack bites and not eating bites that we saw?
Well, I can tell from the wounds that it was alive when they started eating, but there's no resistance. So the ogre was alive but not fighting back to whatever was eating it.
Oh, the giant was being eaten. Okay. Because it, just from the picture, it's hard to tell, and I missed that somehow. All right, yeah. So we interrupted a meal, or how much of the body's left over?
There's a good chunk of body left over, but it is a giant, and these things aren't huge. They're probably the size of like larger dogs or goats. So, you know, they probably don't eat massive quantities of food.
And we haven't seen a whole lot of other living creatures since we've been out here, right?
Interesting that you asked that question. Make a perception check.
I will. You just wait. There.
A 21?
Yes.
You do see some creatures. You see some creatures.
I see some wolves.
You do indeed.
I say wolves and point over there to the north. Oh, and to the west and to the east.
Oh boy.
Large. These things are charging from all sides. 5 massive white wolves. Their eyes are their ice blue. Actually, it's six, right? Yeah, six massive white wolves. Their eyes are ice blue, and frost clings to their white fur. Start running at you guys from out of the... You didn't see them until they were this close, because you feel like their fur blends into the snowy surroundings. And now they are running towards you. Initiative.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here I go with an 8. I'm really rushing.
Right behind you with a 7. Oh, God.
I'm fighting Jim to get over there as slowly as possible.
Let's see. So
my dex is only 11, so you probably get there first.
Let's see. Top of the order is the wolves.
I think we're all definitely having that moment of like, maybe they're friendly.
Yeah, they're friendly.
Here, puppy.
Then we got Matt G. Tevis is going on a 13, followed by 3 on an 8. Jeez Louise. All right, we're just going to go Nydia, Logos, Allegan. Oh, no, Allegan had a 7, so Jim. Yeah, Jim had an 8. Allegan had a 7. Wow, yeah, so they definitely beat you guys on initiative. Okay, so this one is going to go here.
Up on me.
These guys are moving in here. And these two are coming here. Here we go! First two on Nydia. And these wolves are huge, man. They're like gigantic. They're not like giant-sized wolves, but they're definitely some big boys. And girls, you're not close enough to really tell, but they're big. So first one on Nydia. There we go, 32. Yeah, crit confirmed. So that would be a 12 points of damage, Nydia, as this one bites into you.
Yikes!
Second one snaps at you. 20 hit?
Yes, it does.
For 3 more points.
So that's 15 points.
Yes. First one swings on Mativis. 20 hit?
Nope.
Does a 22 hit?
Yep.
For 6. First one swings on Logos. 19 hit? No, to 4 damage. And then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, does 17 hit?
No.
Then, yeah, so you took 4. I am going to Ray of Frost Breath. Arctic Breath! Whoop! So, Reflex for half. Allegan, Ogin, and Logos. Your DC is 13.
Oh, Jesus! That's a 6 from Allegan, so.
Oof. All right, so you guys are going to take 17 frost damage. And that's my attacks. Top of the order for you guys. Fat G, what's Matibus doing?
When it says attack made as part of a charge, what does that mean?
When it says what?
When an attack's made as part of a charge.
So if you charge and make an attack, so like... If you end your charge in an attack. So you have to charge. You have to move and do it. It has to be a declared charge attack.
Okay.
And you can't really charge these guys because they're right in your face.
Yeah, so I'm not going to use the banner. I'm just going to straight up attack the one closest to me then.
Okay, roll hit. That will hit me.
9 damage.
Okay. That bad boy takes 9. Next would be Nydia.
I can't take many more hits of that. I'm going to disengage this round.
Okay.
Over behind this tree.
Okay.
Like 20 something feet away.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
Logoth?
Alright, so I'm going to take a 5-foot step here and inflict critical wounds on the one I have access to. Pink, I believe.
Yep, pink.
Okay. Cool. So let me roll for a touch attack.
Y'all got somber real quick.
Right?
These guys ain't no joke. Remember, the whole plot of the game is the wild spaces are wilder.
Yeah, that didn't do shit. Great.
Actually, no, my touch AC is 10.
No.
I swear I'll show you a screen.
No, you're
good. See it?
No, it's cool. I'm not going to look a gift Anton in the mouth, okay? Like, we're good.
I'll tell you my stats. My AC is 17, my touch is 10, and my flat foot is 16.
Damn it.
I have ridiculous hit points and really good saves. But my touch AC sucks.
All right. Damage coming your way. No, my damage sucks, so, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty...
lackluster.
The tank took 19, as you critical wounds did. We are on to, let's see...
Chaos Hammer does a 20-foot radius blast, so I can get all four of these guys on the left here.
Okay. Is it also going to hit your party?
Not if I aim it a little bit over, so it doesn't hit Ravy or Matavis. So you get a will. You get a will save against 18.
Okay.
Partial.
So we'll go down the line. So blue save, red, purple, then pink. So blue save made it. Red failed. Purple failed. Pink failed.
Okay, they take half damage then.
Okay.
So wait. I do 4d6 plus 8. 20 on each. 10 on blue.
10 on blue.
And the rest are 20.
Now that's some... That's starting to be some damage.
Oh, it's starting to be some damage. Oh, okay.
The welcome mat of damage.
The welcome mat of damage. All right, Allegan, let's see what you can do. Which will be interesting.
Well, I just saw where Ogun dropped that Chaos Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a really good spot. So I'm going to drop a non-modified fireball.
Oh, nice. All right.
So, need reflex saves from them.
My magic casting brother.
Reflex saves, all right.
They're probably pretty good.
It's not great. 16, 25, 18, 18.
So the blue one failed this time.
Okay.
So he'll be taking the 21.
Shit.
I think everyone else is taking either 10 or 11.
Alright. That's some damage. Alright. Is it 10 or 11?
We've been rounding up, right?
You guys round up, I round down.
So, 11.
Okay, cool. Don't give me some nebulous bullshit, man.
They could take 11, or they could take 3.
Don't give me some nebulous bullshit.
That means they've all taken 31 points of damage.
At least. Yep.
Yeah. So far, from just about that.
That would be back to me, right? Yes, correct. I am now going to rethink my strategy here. I just got hit by a fucking fireball.
Hello.
Alright, so blue is going to roll on Matavis. 31 hit.
Yep.
Take 5. Red is on Matavis. 29.
Yep.
Take 2. Allegan. Orange is coming at you.
Alright.
26 hit.
Yes.
Take 4. 24 hit?
No.
Ogun, purple's coming at you. 16 hit? I don't think it does. 16
does. No, it does not.
I didn't think so. So it snaps at you. You probably
that
bite the
car.
Exactly. I was going to say, Ogun probably bites the damn thing back. Logoth, 17 hit you?
It does not, no.
So that 9 just does nothing. This thing can't bite you for some reason. Alright, so that's me. So, top of the order would be... Matt G, what's Matavis doing?
Straight up attack again. The red one. 29 hit.
That will hit.
For 8 damage.
Alright. Now we're getting somewhere. All right. Next on the ticker
is Nydia.
Yeah.
All right. So Nydia lets out this high-pitched scream that's so high-pitched it makes their little ears twitch, and they need to do a saving throw. And if they fail it, then all of my friends get to make opportunity attacks against them.
What's my save?
20.
No, what's my stat? What am I saving for?
Oh, fortitude.
Okay. 29.
Oh, you...
29.
What?
16. 24. 25. 17.
Oh, only two of them failed.
Okay, so we're going to say green and orange failed.
Green fur and orange fur. Ogun and Allegan. Attack them.
Yeah, guys, get your attacks of opportunity in.
All right, hold on. This is going to be really funny.
Roll the hit, Maddie.
Let's see. That first one's a four. Oh, Jesus.
Questionable cudgel.
Does a 14 hit the wolf?
No, it doesn't.
So that zero damage does jack all nothing.
Does an 18 hit? Yes, an 18 hits.
I did 9 bludgeoning them.
All right, cool. So I'm guessing green, right?
Yeah, he's right in front of me.
They, that's the first damage that green's taken. Yep, green and orange haven't been hit yet. Well, green just got hit. All right.
I'm guessing that 9 does not hit.
Was that not your 9? No.
Yes.
No, it's 9.
Legitimately the first time Allegan has had to swing that thing.
he's just out there flailing in the snow. The blood rage gnome.
I look over at him and kind of arch my eyebrow. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Swing a club? I've never seen that before.
It probably pops you in the shin. Not enough that it'll even hurt or register. But it's just like, what are you doing? Alright, so that'll be after Nydia is Logoth.
Alright, I'm going to draw the Void Blade.
Okay.
And do the attack.
First attack misses. Second attack also misses, but the blade does flicker with its unnatural light and cut through space and time, as it is wont to do.
So it looks cool.
It looks badass. Doesn't hit, but it looks fucking... Points for style!
Yeah, take that.
Aesthetic, motherfucker. So, Ogun, but you're just looking to your left. There's like a...
I see him with the cudgel. I'm like, what?
You look to your
over logos. I'm like, wow, that looks cool, but it didn't do much.
So again, let's see if you can bring Judah into this.
Okay. Instead, I'm going to use my ring of holy smite.
Okay.
And get these four on the left here once again. If I center it, so that's one charge from my ring. Will save. Will party gets half partial.
Will fucking sucks. All right. So first one. Nope. Second one, yep. Third one, nope. Fourth one, nope. So red partially saves, your gets half.
Right, which would be 7, I guess, because the damage is only 13 for some reason.
I would like to remind everybody that I gave us a hero's feast before we left this morning, so you get a +1 to your attacks.
Oh.
And you get a +4 to saving throws against poison and fear. That is
out of 4d8, I made a 13. Ouch.
Dude, those were low rolls, man.
Okay, so 13 on all those guys except for whichever one is
red. Red saved.
Red saved. Okay.
But he's taken 7.
Right. We ain't got any of these guys out yet, huh?
And we have a +10 temporary hit points.
Allegan, are you going to keep on swinging your cudgel of questionable intent?
No.
Oh.
Let me see. I've got these two.
I want to see that zero damage roll.
Zero damage. Jesus. All right.
You might as well just hit the wolf on the nose of the newspaper. Bad wolf.
Great AWOL Nation song.
You know what?
What?
Is that? No, I think it worked so well the first time. I'm going to do another fireball, but I want to aim it. Let's see. Here?
Okay, so you're getting green.
Is that... Yeah, I'm going to hit green and orange. Okay. So roll that. And we just need some reflex saves.
Jesus, 29 damage.
Holy nice. Christ.
Fail. Fail?
29.
Yeah, I need an 18.
That's so, 29 to both of them.
Oof. Now they've been hit.
Oh, now they've been hit. Only now.
Only now.
Now they've been hit.
So I'm reconsidering my position in life here. 31 hit.
Hit.
6. 22 hit.
Yep.
8. Al again. 25 hit.
I think that is right on the nose. Where did my character sheet go? So much stuff. Yeah, right on the nose.
3. 16 hit.
That one does not.
You damn little tank. So this thing's gonna try to bite Ogun again. 27?
Yep, that hits.
Dang 9. This one's gonna try to bite Logoth. 26?
It's
6. And that's me. Matt G, what are you doing?
Just try up attacking again.
Red or blue?
Red again.
Roll to hit.
23?
It hits.
10 damage.
How you wanna do it?
I wanna cut up from the jaw and kind of split its head thing style, so it kind of like flowers out.
So as you bring your blade into the bottom of its jaw, draw it, the katana back towards you, the entire body of the beast starts to crack with frost. And before its corpse hits the icy ground, it is completely frozen.
Nice.
First one down.
I just glare at Blue.
Just meeting its primal gaze with your own.
Yeah.
All right.
Pointing at you with my tail, like you're next.
You're next. Nadia, what are you doing?
Well, I am remembering. I look around the tree and look at the blue furred wolf, and remember this terribly injured deer that I found once, and I give them all of the pain that that deer had. A 20 to hit.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not to hit.
I gotta make
a will save for 23.
Yeah, I do not make that will save.
They take 20 damage.
All right, so blue takes 20. All of the pain washes over it, and it isn't dead, but it is definitely laying on the ground. So much so that if Mativius could take an attack of opportunity and kill it, coup de grace.
Oh, yes, can I get...
Nighty would have to do it. Like, Ma would have to let you do it.
I get 2 extra attack of opportunities when I get them.
Nice.
How do I do this? How do I let...
I
shout at Mativius and say, kill it.
Okay, cool. There you go.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, he can't kill steel unless he was a player, allow him to do it, but he could take it out right now in combat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least knock it out.
Okay, well, I get 2 additional attacks of opportunity then, so...
You don't even have to roll a hit. Like, literally, you just have to declare an action.
Ah, yeah. I'd slice it up.
Drop your blade into it, and its body just permafrosts. So, blue is also down. Red is down, blue is down. Logoth, what's your move?
Yeah, we're going to be running more of the same. 5-foot step, void blade. Do 5-foot steps invoke?
Well, you haven't... Yes, because you disengaged its threat and swear.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but he's engaged with Ogun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's not going to, only because they have pack mentality. So it's not showing me... Oh, there we go. Okay. So... Yes. How do you want to do it?
So seeing that his movement, like, stylistically?
Yeah, stylistically.
Okay, yeah. Seeing as how I'm doing it and doing a step to the left and am right-handed, I imagine that I'm going to be swinging up through his throat as I make an action to the side and cleaving.
Nice. So you pull the blade through it, and black snowflakes begin to fall before the body hits the ground.
Yeah.
That would be... Ogun, what's your move?
Critical hit. Oh, I didn't confirm it, though, so only 10, I guess.
Oh, only 10. How do you want to do it?
Smush.
Wait, is this purple, or is
purple. Apply Judah to head.
Smash. You just... It, like a puff of ice and snow go up in the air, like when you throw a perfectly timed snowball. And this thing just collapses. And then there's Allegan and his two combatants left.
So I was going to change up my tactics, but seeing everybody vanquish their wolves and not wanting to be left out, I'm going to... I'm going back to my one-hit wonder status.
Okay.
Do another fireball.
All right, I will roll my reflex saves. Hope I make both of them. 17, 16, both of them fail, 23. So the green one just, he doesn't even get to fall into ice. He literally just pops because there's so much heat damage going on here. The orange one is still up. Crispy.
Oh, nervous.
And he is going to bite at you. Does 26 hit?
It does.
Take 8 as he bites into you. And that would be Tevis. What's your move?
I'm gonna run up and slash it.
That will hit.
The 12 damage.
How you want to do it?
Since I'm coming from the back, I'm going to like slide across the snow and just try and cut it in half from nice. The belly.
You bifurcate it in the middle and it splits into two frozen pieces and they fall into the earth.
And as I slide, I like slide back up onto my feet and just flip the blade so the blood splatters
nice.
On the snow.
You notice that the blood is very bluish in color. It's more purpley blue than it's red. And that is combat.
Okay, I know Nadia's really hurt. Who else needs healing?
I can heal as well.
I'm not taking anything away. I'm just offering. 34. Okay. This.
Nice.
I think that should bring me up to...
Allegan, are you okay? You need curing?
You know what? I think I got it covered. I'm gonna summon modified ball lightning. Just two little healing electric orbs floating around me.
And Nadia, you're curing yourself, or you need help, or?
I'm gonna cure Logoth first.
Okay, just to make sure we're all cool before we get moving again, in case you're ready somewhere else.
Yeah, that has brought me up to full, so thank you very much.
So, Logoth, the same thing that I did to the. That killed one of the, or almost killed one of the wolves I do to you. I give you the pain from someone being crushed by a boulder. But it says that it's a... but somehow, that negative energy invigorates you by 12.
Okay, it's... First of all, thank you. Okay, second off, I just need to know for game purposes how that plays out. Like, you know, it's
psychologically?
Well, psychologically and physically, and for the part of me that's, you know, still alive, right. Like, is that a good kind of hurt? Or, you know...
No, it's not.
Ooh. It's a bad kind of hurt. Okay.
Yeah.
That is... That's... Yeah, okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's great. This is why I love natural magic so much.
I want that to be the tagline of the episode.
And Anton, did you want me to roll out the ball lightning healing? Okay.
That's a yes. For those at home who can't see me nodding my head.
Alright, so basically I'm doing that. And this. Right, so that's 12.
Wow, that's some terrible rolling.
Well, that's just round one.
I know, I'm just saying that 66.
That's out just 66, round one, Jim.
I know, but out of 66, you got a 12. I'm sorry. Not being critical, I'm just saying.
That's the second round. Okay. And that brings me up to full. And
I'm going to cure myself here real quick.
I was going to say, Ogun, if you want, I can...
So, I can heal anybody that's still down. Like, I have a slot for it.
Then, me too.
Okay, cool. So, we're good and everybody attended to is attended to?
We're all set on healers, that's...
Yeah, we're good. It was so funny, because that was originally why I played a cleric, because I looked at the rest of the party, I'm like, oh, there's no healer in the party.
You didn't look at the witch and go, healer?
No, I didn't. I wasn't expecting that. I guess I wasn't thinking.
No,
I'm not always right. The greatest. Yeah. Not always and the sharpest.
My positive energy thing was kind of a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
There can be hags that don't have healing spells.
I'm only down one from normal, so let's get moving.
It's a party of casters, which is really entertaining to me.
Yeah, let's get the crap out of here. Where's that food dog? How many of us can get on that thing again?
We've made a sled, remember?
Yeah, we made a sled.
Oh, yeah. Let's haul ass.
Okay. Somewhere in the distance, you can hear the sound of a lone wolf howl. And then another. And then more. And then more. And as the light leaves the sky altogether, a chorus of wolves echo in the night.
So, when the lone wolf peeks up, it's like, aww.
And the I thought we'd already cast the GTFO spell.
Oh yeah, you guys are getting out of here. But I'm just letting you know, as you're leaving, that's what you hear.
Oh, okay.
So it's a good thing we left.
Lone wolf howling, my friends!
Now, in this part of the narrative, had we seen, like, the little settlement built to the side of the mountain at this point, or...
No? You could see it, like, way down the mountain, but you think probably going to take you, like, quite a few hours to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the treacherous nature of the slopes and stuff. So how late into the night are you guys planning on traveling, is my question.
We really need to bring some light with us if we're going to go in the night.
I think the plan was to cast the light on the food dog, so it's just shining as we're traveling.
The light would be our best bet. Otherwise, the wind of us hauling food dog is just going to blow out torches.
Yeah, and the fire is what kept away the weird things before.
I think the light helps, though.
Light.
Yeah.
It was more the light than the heat.
Well, I thought it was more the fire than the light.
Yeah, because we, I think it was,
Oh, right, we had the forge. Okay.
Casting light on the trees.
Gotcha.
But we do need fire for our warmth.
It is cold.
But not until we stop.
I think I might count on.
Yeah, snow is getting to about ankle deep now, just so you guys know.
You said the sun's going down. How many hours away does the settlement look?
Oh, sun's down.
Okay. That was quick.
So, a couple of hours more of travel?
I would say probably at least eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Some of us are going to need to fall asleep on this thing, otherwise we're going to get exhaustion.
Yeah, so it sounds like we need to camp before...
Yeah, I'm going to say it's probably the best to camp because we don't want to traverse this in the dark. We're better off camping so we can defend.
We've got wolves and spooky siren elks or whatever they are.
Okay. If someone wants to be on light duty or perimeter duty to set up the lights or torches or whatever, or I'll start building into it again. Since I've, I can craft it well and stuff.
What do we see around us, DM? A defendable spot?
I mean, there's lots of trees. It's just you're kind of in rocky, hilly, mountainous terrain, so you can go probably 20 feet in any direction and find something that you could put branches against and make fairly back against the wall situation. Your issue more is the wind, the dramatically dropping temperatures, and whatever the hell else is roaming the night.
Okay.
So that's your major problem right now.
All right, let's find a nice circle of trees, maybe.
Or maybe just a rocky outcropping that we can put our backs against.
Like this thing right here?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could alight like the six trees that circle that. One, two, the ones on the top of the little cliff outcropping, and then the three in front and one to the side.
Mm-hmm. We can see you guys from space.
And then I'd like to light my cauldron again. Light a fire from my cauldron.
Okay.
I think maybe if we just light like these three trees here in a little triangle, we'll be...
Okay. And I'll take one of the trees that aren't in that perimeter and start making like a lean-to to keep the windbreak at least.
Okay, it takes like, your
back. Yeah, I was going to say, my patron thing is that, or my extra patron thing is that I can cast crafting at will. So I'm going to start crafting like a little windbreak lean-to in this area.
Yeah, I thought I'd remember
get behind to sleep and stuff.
It'll take you about an hour to build a shelter.
Sounds good.
So that should be fairly easy for you to knock out. Do we have a watch order?
I'll go first if you want.
If I want, no, this is what it's about me.
I'm asking the pine.
Okay.
Quick question: Who can cast light?
I mean, I can hit you up tomorrow.
Oh, that's a zero level spell, so.
He can hit you up tomorrow.
You can't do cantrips?
Is it just me?
I honestly forgot what my zero level spells were, so.
John Michael's spell structure is not the same as your spell structure.
Yeah, if you guys remember, I made the deal with the devil with Anton to use third level mechanics for the basis of my spells.
Yep. Or
third edition mechanics for the basis of my spells.
Oh, yes.
That means nothing to me, but...
Well, it means a lot to me. In third ed D&D, you had a certain number of zero level spells you could cast. They weren't super nice like Paizo was with Pathfinder and gave you unlimited zero level spells.
The flip side is when you cast Darkness in third edition, it actually fucking works, and it's not nerfed like it is in Pathfinder. So there's pros and cons to it.
All right, so I don't have light. That's not something in my wheelhouse.
Neither do I. We do have torches though.
Okay, because it only lasts. I can light up the trees.
Mm-hmm.
It only is going to last just over an hour.
Yep.
So, and I need to sleep at some point. I can't like make a round every hour.
Because it'd be no way you could rest for spells.
Exactly.
Oh, sir, I have a timer going for that shit.
Yeah, before we start casting light, then I'm going to quickly... Can I talk to my sword in the vicinity of everyone still?
No. Because everybody's too close.
Okay, I'm going to go a safe amount away. Would that be okay?
Sure, what's safe?
Okay, so I'm going to talk to him and go, hey, man, in a bit of a pickle. I could do with a bit of advice. Do you reckon it'd be better to set up camp or keep moving?
At the edge of the shadows, you can kind of see the movement of the eight-eyed dark dragon god. And it kind of peers out of you, the darkness out of, peers out of the darkness and looks at you and it says, either way, you're in danger. There are things above and there are things below. I would bet that resting at this time would more than likely be advisable, but to keep your eyes to the sky.
Thank you, my friend. And I'll come back.
Well, I'm going to make a fire then from like the scrap wood I have from the making the lean-to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I guess between these two trees here. I'm sorry, I'm trying to ping this.
So I admit, you guys can draw stuff on the things too, just like freehand and draw whatever.
From my understanding, we were going to build something against this wall.
Right.
Can we just tip the sled and use that as...
So what I can do is light up these three trees, and I can do it again before I go to sleep, and then I'll take my rest, and then I'll get up, and I can light the trees again. And if we have a fire going in the meantime,
I was going to say, in between a good-sized campfire, I think we should be okay, or hopefully we will be.
Yeah, I've talked to my day, and he's told us to, he said rest in his best, and also to watch the skies. So there seems to be something in the air we've not encountered yet. So if we can cover ourselves, then might be best. Like, if we flip the sled, could we sleep underneath that for some cover? How easy is that going to be?
I mean, I built a lean-to. That's not the issue.
No, he's got a lean-to built.
The light and the fire is the issue. I'll stay up and keep the fire going, and then someone else can do it while I'm sleeping. I think if we have a big enough campfire, we're going to keep most of the animals away. I mean, that's the way it works in real camping. I don't know about Maya, but...
That orange triangle I drew is... I mean, square. I drew is my fire for my cauldron.
Okay. So, watch number one. Who's on it?
I'll stay up with Ogun, if you said you're
sure. Yep, I'll stay up with Matavis.
Okay. As you guys are on watch, the wind from the Arctic Sea to the north blows in. It starts to get more harsh. After about an hour, it starts to make like a howling sound. Could be the natural sound of the wind, just kind of as it's slipping through trees and across ice and snow. Or it could be something organic carried in the wind. But the north wind is definitely blowing. And it's making you hella uncomfortable. So that progresses through the evening. And you feel like because you've experienced it, you're going to take 1d4 worth of damage just from the strain that it puts on your body and your mind.
Okay. Are you rolling that or are we rolling it?
I can roll it for you. More than happy to roll it for you. Both of you, oh wow, okay. So both of you take 4.
Okey-doke.
You just feel so overwhelmed by it. It's just like a sense of daunting pressure.
While I was on watch, I wanted to just do a little experiment and see. I want to pour out a bit of water from my jug with the coin in to see if that's still liquid or it's frozen.
Oh no, it's definitely still liquid. Yeah, it's still liquid.
Okay, cool.
Definitely liquid.
Does it freeze once it's poured?
Yes, but it takes longer for it to freeze than you think just normal canteen water poured out would take.
Damn, I was hoping I could make loads of ice daggers.
Ice daggers? Nice. Alright, so watch 2. Who's on watch 2?
I'll be on watch 2.
Anybody else?
We need 5 people on the group now, so.
So we'll do Ravy and Logoff will be watched too.
Cool. Just for game mechanic purposes, I've got a whole bunch of spells that to burn. Before meditating, I would like to heal up to full.
Okay.
Cool.
There's some break in the cloud cover. Like, the north wind is seriously ripping through the trees. It's like, it's just coming hard off the Arctic Sea. There's some break in the cloud cover. You want to throw me a perception check? 25? God damn. That's a nat 20. He was a perceivinous fool. Okay. Fuck ambiguity. So as you look up to the sky, you catch a break in... Logoth kind of looks up to the sky, and he catches this break in the clouds. And there is a... There's a large humanoid shaped figure, winged, feather winged, 6 to be exact, and it is coasting through the midnight sky, riding the north winds, and it's blotting out the stars behind it.
Okay,
you kind of watch it as it passes overhead.
Does it look like it's circling, or does it look like it's seen us, or is?
As you watch it, it's kind of lazily drifting in the wind. It's traveling from the north to the south. And it flies a lot slower than some of the bigger creatures that you've seen. Flies a lot slower than some of the celestials you've seen moving around. And it does eventually pass over the horizon to the south. So it doesn't look like it's stopped for you. But definitely caught your attention.
All right. And it definitely sees the fire that's still going.
Oh, yeah. You're positive. I mean, you can see the damn thing. It's pitch black out here on the top of the mountain. There's a fire going.
Okay. Can I roll the knowledge religion on it?
Sure. It's got six wings. It's probably third choir.
We just keep getting more and more heavy hitters.
fairly large in size. Go ahead and pop an int check.
Just straight intelligence?
Yeah, just straight intelligence roll.
Okay, gotcha.
We're going to call this an inkling check.
Fair enough. I don't know I have much of an inkling.
We're going to see. I'm going to leave you with this thought. You got to fly before you can fall.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to put out there.
Ah, gotcha. All right, cool.
So that's kind of where your head is, and it just kind of moseys along.
I'm not going to bring anybody's attention. Well, I'm going to point out to... Yeah, Ravy was on watch with me, this one.
Yeah, but her nose is in a book. She's not paying attention to anything right now.
Okay, well, if it's not a meditative or a studying thing for spells afterwards, I'm going to let her know. So there's at least two people that know what's going on.
Who are aware of the situation.
Okay, yeah, and I'll let the watch relieve if nothing eventful happens besides that.
Yeah, nothing else happens until third watch.
Okay, and I will, guys, you know as much as I do, I suspect that at some point this is definitely a celestial. I suspect at some point that maybe it might be going rogue out here, but that's just me.
So should I not light the trees back up, or does it just not matter at this point?
Well, at this point, there's no way it didn't see the fire. If we're screwed, we're screwed. I mean, I would say wake everybody else up and move camp, but that would just make us weaker tomorrow. We might as well take on whatever we're taking on where we're at now, if it does come to pass, but at this point, I kind of doubt it will.
All right, I'll cast light on at least one of them so we're not left prone to the wilderness and whatever is following us.
Yeah, I'm there. I think that's prudent.
Cool.
So I'll cast light on this tree right here to our south.
All right. Nydia, are you up with the third watch?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So you guys are on the third watch.
And when we're doing our rests, are we taking partial rests and then doing a watch and then going back to sleep? Or are we taking our full rest and then... Like, are all my spells back?
Being on third watch, I think we took our full rest.
Right.
Okay. All right.
That's why casters typically go on third watch. Or first watch, so that they can sleep until morning. Casters don't normally take middle watch.
During my rest, I was reading as well for the hour.
Okay.
Now I have... That's my seventh time, which gives me the plus 10... to heal. Ha ha ha! I'm sitting fancy in my chair, all excited. Okay, so yes, now I am with Al again and looking up at the sky.
Yeah, I'm gonna halt my study of the scrying spell and actually pay attention tonight.
Perception check, Manny. It's not... Yeah, it's going to have to be perception, because I need a dice roll for it, so we're going to call it perception.
16. Low.
You perceive that the tonal nature of positive energy is no longer in this area, with the exception of the spells you're casting and, you know, your various accoutrements. Did that statement make any fucking sense to you? It felt garbage coming out of my mouth.
I'm basically a candle in the darkness right now.
For in the nature of so let's wax poetic for a minute, listeners and players. So in the nature of positive and negative energy, the reason they exist where they do in the elemental planes in Maya, the cosmological structure, is because positive and negative energy are forces that can intertwine into all of your elements. You know, you can have fire that warms you. You can also have fire that destroys village, right? So if the village is full of evil people, then that fire that destroys village is positive. And if that, you know, thing that warms you is warming a baby killer, then it's negative, right? So this positive and negative kind of polarity plays through everything. So it exists in a way that can be sensed. The sixth sense kind of vibe, like goosebumps or somebody walking over your grave or cold chills, whatever colloquialisms you might have to call it. Some people are very attuned at being able to pick up on that. Now, Allegan comes from a city where it is so infused with positive energy that the absence of positive energy, Allegan would be able to feel. Because, you know, that radiant nature of positive energy, which courses through all things, is normally ever present. Like, even in, like, dark and sinister, spooky castles and such, that positive energy is still there. It may be dampened, it may be, you know, slightly, you know, overwhelmed by the negative energies or what have you. But typically there's a balance between those forces. At this present time on the mountaintop, what Allegan is experiencing is a vacuum of positive energy. So while it would make most people uneasy, hence the reason that you know, Ogen and Mativis took damage earlier, while it would make most people uneasy, uncomfortable, weary, Allegan can actually tangibly feel this difference, put his finger on it, if you will. And notice that the negative energy is ever present, and the positive energy has kind of been blown or bled out of the landscape. Now, I don't want the listener or the player's takeaway from this small offshoot explanation to give you the impression that is an alignment-based thing. So I'm not saying something good or evil is happening in the, you know, traditional senses of good or evil. You know, something evil is afoot. More that the very nature of positive energy has been pushed from this area. And it is a primal force of negative energy that is now ever-present, not a thoughtful or malignant or sort of like there's not a cunningness involved in this. There's not a plot. It is a it isn't like a thought out executed chess game plan. It is just the primal negativity infusing the area. So, you know, that being said, we are gonna go back into game and pick back up with Allegan, kind of feeling this around him.
As the first hour of that light spell draws to a close,
mm-hmm.
If I infuse another light spell with some positive energy and cast it on the tree, what happens?
You know the difference between like a brighter light bulb and like a dim-ass light bulb?
Yes.
So they both shed light, and in the darkness both you can see by. But this would be more of a dim light bulb. Than a bright light bulb.
Once I kind of see the effects, I cast just a regular light spell back on the tree to keep that brighter light bulb going.
And the octarine energy that infuses the Arcanos, which is not, you know, adherent to any of the elemental forces or positive negative energy planes, it, you know, illuminates as per normal, wattages and whatnot, and casts its cold light of arcane energy.
And have I noticed anything else about my positively infused spell since I've been on the mountain?
This is a new development. This was not like this before you went to sleep. This is new. So when you awoke, you felt uncomfortable and weren't sure if you had just like slept on a rock wrong or something. But you know, this is new. This is a new thing. This isn't something that's that was there previously.
I'm introspective for a bit, but yeah, I think I finally pipe up and say, I think I personally need to be off this mountain as soon as we can. There is an energy flowing through everything that I think is diminishing my abilities.
Is it the negative stuff that Logoth feeds off of? Or is invigorated by?
Yeah, it's kind of the counterbalance to my positive energy.
But this just happened.
Yeah, I've been feeling off since I woke up, and I that's why I was just playing around with the light spell on the tree.
Could it be the archons that were flying overhead that Logoth told us about?
I doubt it, but archons are Anton, archons are positive, basically positive elementals, right?
Oh, it's positive energy. Yeah, that would be better. Yeah, that would be the best way to think about it. Positive elementals. Okay. I like that. That's clever. Yes.
Well, there. I was researching my elemental abilities, and I noticed something we'll have to talk about later.
I appreciate that you've been doing your reading.
Yes. So, no, I don't think they have anything to do with it. And in fact, the nature of this place might be protecting us for a little bit. That could be why they were... If they weren't speeding overhead, maybe it wasn't so much that they were looking. Maybe they didn't have the boost that they normally do. Or maybe a combination of both.
Or repelled by this area.
It's entirely possible that this place is protecting us and simultaneously messing me up.
Does it feel like two magnets pushing up against each other instead of pulling towards each other? Maybe that's how it affected the archons, this energy. But it still makes me super nervous. How much more time do we have before we can get out of here?
Get out of where?
Where we're at. Get off this mountain.
Oh, you guys got some time to travel down the mountain.
A couple days.
Yeah.
A couple of days, but how much more time before everybody has had their rest and we can leave, at least make our way down the mountain?
About 3 hours.
Yeah, I would have made this revelation probably an hour or so after we got up.
Yeah.
Because I would have gotten up, cast the light spell, and then had that hour of, like, something's off.
Is there any way I can help?
No, this isn't... I didn't mean it to be like, I need to get off of the here now, but...
But you do.
But we need to get off as soon as possible. And we should probably be wary of distractions.
Just get back on the Foo Dog and slide on out of here.
Kind of for the rest of watch, I am keeping an eye out, but I'm also every now and then sort of meditating on my energy and the energy around me.
Okay.
Maybe seeing if there is a balance that can be reached. I know that's not going to be achieved within this single watch, but that's going to be on my mind.
Throw me a d20. Throw me two d20s.
14 and a 17.
Kind of start to... It's like if you're sitting in a room of total darkness, right? So you're kind of there. You're kind of meditating on it. You're kind of thinking about it. And you kind of start to feel like maybe there's more to the negative energy than has ever been explained to you. You start to have thoughts that you're kind of questioning maybe the nature of positive energy. You know, so often you're taught that positive and negative energy are these opposite forces. And you're starting to think about it in a different way. Like your brain is starting to kind of come to these different conclusions where maybe there's more to the relationship between positive and negative energy. And as you kind of want to explore more, the sun starts to come up and it's about time for watch to be over. But there's definitely something there. Like it starts to make you think about things in a different perspective. And we can explore that further in Allegan's life journey. But that's definitely... You start to have some thoughts that others haven't thought before about the nature of the positive and negative energies.
did you just give this frost giant antifreeze blood?
I just thought antifreeze was green.
Oh, I thought it was pink. It's been a long time since I've looked at antifreeze. Never mind. Nothing. I said nothing.
I just gave it purpley pink blood because I figure frost giant's got blue skin. It's got a lot of gray tones. It's got a lot of like Nordic looking adornments. So the thing that would stand out against the white and the blue and the gray would be like a really cool like purpley pinky vibe. So aesthetically, biology in Maya is purely based on Anton's color aesthetics because I am selfish in that way. There are things in this world that will bleed glitter because they are matte black in skin tone. And I think that looks
That'll delightful. Be great. So, yes.
Little something for you listeners at home. Maya is purely based off of my sense of aesthetic. Enjoy. Also makes it easier for artists to render cool looking things.
It's an amuse-bouche of damage.
Yes, a crudité of damage, if you will. what do they call it? Antipasto?
Antipasto.
Yeah, I always thought it was anti-pasta. You know, like anti.
Yeah, so did I for the longest time.
Right, so it's like the opposite of pasta in my head.
Because it's
like,
all meats and cheeses.
Right, I was like, but pasta and meats and cheeses go so well together. How is it anti-pasta? Like, I have a meat in a pasta.
Some kind of food war.
Well, it comes from anti, like, before. Like you know how an anti-chamber is the chamber before the big chamber?
Fucking Jim, you're the smartest motherfucker. I had no idea.
Before pasta, antipasta.
That's so brilliant. I had never considered that. And I'm a smart dude. Bravo.
It's a food-related question, of course.
I appreciate your knowledge, Sensei. That's badass. Look at Jim just fucking drop science.